The Global Threat Report, ladies and gentlemen, is sponsored by Global Threat Solutions, the 100% veteran-owned Long Island-based security and investigations firm offering so many different services. Also, a fully licensed private investigations firm, comprehensive it offers, private investigations for peace of mind in uncertain times. Go to the website, globalthreatsolutions.com. Please call as well any questions, 646-946-6649. His company, and of course, a great show he hosts along with Tom Evans on Saturdays at 11, the Captain's Brief. Ladies and gentlemen, the Captain, Ken Bombay. Sir, great having you. Appreciate the late request, but a lot happening over the weekend as far as Ukraine, Israel. We'll start first with what's going on in Israel. By the way, very good morning to you. Lots happening as far as the Gaza region, Cap, is concerned. They have withdrawn. Israel has its forces from Khan Yunis. That is in southern Gaza. Fierce fighting that has taken place there that has left much of the city in ruins. What does that all mean as far as withdrawal?
Right. So, yeah, Jay, Sunday marks this last Sunday marked 6 months since the attack. On October 7th. So it's the 6 months that Israel's been involved in this conflict and this Gaza crisis has been going on. So the latest news, the big news right now, is what you just mentioned. Khan Yunis is where the Israelis have withdrawn from. They're pulling their troops out. But make it very clear, Israel says those troops are now going to be redeployed to support other missions, including the very controversial mission in Rafah, which they are still intending on doing. There was also a lot of talk, Jay, about this phone call last Thursday between President Biden and Prime Minister Netanyahu, where President Biden allegedly pushed very hard for civilian relief and said that the U.S. support will be based, tied directly to that, Israel's ability to protect civilians as this conflict unfolds. So now one thing that came out of that is Netanyahu says that he's going to open up a new or reopen another land border crossing to assist with the flow of civilians to flee Gaza, and specifically down in southern Gaza. Specifically said they're going to reopen the Erez crossing between Gaza and Israel, but already it's been delayed. They said they have to determine the logistics of doing that. And, you know, the big question is that going to be enough to appease everyone internationally who have condemned Israel's continued operations in Gaza? I guess only time is going to tell.
No doubt about it. And, of course, we await, as far as anything is concerned, regarding more talks between Israel and Hamas in Cairo. Significant progress, we hear. And that's the consensus, Cap, as far as some of the controversial points. This is according to Egyptian state media, but who knows. But obviously, the negotiations aim to achieve a ceasefire. And more importantly, there must be a hostage deal on the table. Until I actually, you know, see any evidence of that, this is nothing more than a pipe dream to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it seems that the Egyptians specifically, they're always painting a rosy picture with these negotiations, and we're always on the cusp of making this work, but we still have seen nothing. And right now, they're saying that within the next 48 hours, we'll possibly see an agreement, and they're coming back within 2 days. They've made significant progress, like you mentioned. But if you look at Hamas's requests that were made on Sunday, they want a complete cessation of all aggression. The group also reiterated its demands, including withdrawal of Israeli troops from Gaza, the return of displaced Palestinians to their homes, reconstruction of all the damage in Gaza from the Israeli military, and a completion of the prisoner exchange deal, you know, which is a tremendous amount of Palestinian prisoners being held by Israel in exchange for the hostages. And just keep in mind that Israel has said since the beginning of these negotiations that Hamas's demands have been delusional. So I'm not sure if we're going to see something happen within 48 hours. Hopefully there is progress being made, though.
Indeed, and I'll tell you, Iran has reared its ugly head as far as threats are concerned, Cap, with what happened in Damascus in Syria over the last couple of days. And, you know, according to all intelligence reports, a threat is imminent as far as Israel is concerned. How does Joe Biden, you think, handling all of this going on right now? I mean, he is juggling a lot as far as the Middle East, Iran, Ukraine, which we'll get to in a second here. That is a lot to absorb at this point in time, but these threats appear to be very real.
Right. You know, when they put out these, use the word imminent, it means just that, usually that you'll see something come to fruition. Yeah, it's just a matter of time, but in the very near future. And, you know, to be very clear, what they're looking at is attacks on Israel specifically, but also on U.S. assets within the region, you know, maybe in Iraq and Syria. But this is a significant challenge for President Biden because things are escalating, constantly escalating. And, yep, you know, the broader conflict in the region has already occurred, with what we've seen in the Red Sea and attacks on U.S. troops. And I think it's inevitable. And going into a, you know, a presidential election cycle, or being in the middle of one and having to contend with this conflict and Ukraine, which I'm sure we'll get to, these are huge challenges for him because it's a divided country. You know, we have so many people that are outraged and they want, you know, Israel to cease all operations right now. And they feel that they're, you know, there's genocide being committed, all of these accusations. And then you have the other people that if he withdraws support for Israel, he's going to have a lot of opposition. You know, people that normally would have voted for him are going to turn on him in the election. So it's a tough position to be in right now.
I'll tell you, for an 81-year-old guy who might not be all there, campaigning left and right, trying to fundraise, and all this happening around the world, that is a tough task. To try and comprehend and to be the leader of the free world, Cat, I'll tell you. Very tough, which brings us to Ukraine. And Zelensky pretty much has stated over the last couple of days he's going to lose the war with Russia if the United States does not supply more military aid. I know a contingent of U.S. officials went over there. Congressman Thomas Fazi locally was over there over the last week or so. And pretty much that is the case. You saw in a video Zelensky, who has given the plea for more munitions and warned that other states will be attacked if Ukraine is unable to sustain its resistance. Dangerous times right now in this conflict.
For sure. Dangerous times specifically because Russia is really on the offense right now, and they've launched up their attacks. Specifically, they've been targeting infrastructure, and more specifically, they've been trying to knock out their power grid. It seems all indications would say right now that they have been unsuccessful in doing that. But within the last several days, Jay, they've launched some estimates are 1,200 missiles. That's a lot. These are big attacks on Ukraine and their infrastructure. And as you said, President Zelensky is basically saying without financial support, this not only is Russia going to win this conflict, but they're going to move on to other European countries. So it puts the U.S. in this precarious position now. And, you know, it seems that all of the attention or all of the pleas come to the U.S. as far as financial support. And you don't hear too much about them demanding support or at least, you know, begging for support from our European allies. And that's a sticking point, you know, that we've already donated more than any country by far, the United States. So it's become a bit, you know, because of our own financial situation here and economic situation, it's become a sticking point for a lot of Americans to continue to donate. Personally, I will support further U.S. Financial support of Ukraine, but I think we need to do two things. First of all, it should not be relying on aid for Israel or anything else. It should be a sole package that we put forward to support Ukraine. I don't see why we need to tie a bill to Israeli support or anything else. It should just be focused on Ukraine. And also, I think we need to, the United States, because nobody else seems to be, needs to pressure our allies to step up their game and help us. And that should come, no one else but President Biden and maybe the Secretary of State. They need to, it needs to come from that level where they're putting pressure on our European allies, the people who you know, could be threatened the greatest by further Russian aggression. We need to be putting pressure on them. Step up their game. Yes, we will continue to support Ukraine, but we need you to donate more than you have previously. It's where we stand right now. And then finally, I'd say, Jay, there's also within this offensive on infrastructure, there's also claims that Sunday that Russia targeted with a drone this nuclear power plant in southern Ukraine. And that is all over the news right now. It seems that it has not been compromised, but it's very dangerous having an attack of any sort on a nuclear power plant.
I'll tell you, Cap, there is a lot of pressure right now on Speaker Johnson. A lot of pressure. Not only trying to get some sort of a deal done, but he is getting the rebellious nature within his own party, and that from the likes of the Marjorie Taylor Greens and company. Not an easy time for the Speaker. Not an easy time. He has a lot on his plate as well.
Yeah, no, I've been tracking that also. It's a tough spot to be in, and I think this is a mistake where, you know, Republicans with the Speaker of the House, they're, you know, it's just ongoing, constant threat to try and, you know, if you don't vote the way that, if you don't act the way that we want you to, then we're gonna move to remove you as the Speaker. And it shows instability in American government in general, but definitely it shows issues within the Republican Party that they continue to do this. It's a tough place to lead, position to lead from. And it really has, I think, hurt the Republican Party, and it's going to probably hurt them in the presidential election as well.
You know, that's an excellent point. The ramifications of what we are seeing now, fast forward down the road in 7 months. I mean, they got to get together. Not only from, as we, you know, we talk about the ballots and the harvesting and the absentees and the early voting and everything else, but the American people see what's happening here. They see the bickering within the confines of the party right now. It does not bode well. And that's why I say, you know, with all the faults that we see from the Democrats and the White House and everything else, Republicans have a chance to do some good here, but they seem to be shooting themselves in the foot as always.
Yeah. I mean, it's the second time we're seeing this constant infighting within the Republican Party. Speaker Mike Johnson, who seems to, you know, I think anybody would admit, seems to be a pretty intelligent guy and also willing to compromise. So, you know, that's what we need on both sides right now, Jay. That's exactly what we need, is moderation and compromise. And we see none of it. And on the, I have to say, on the right, one thing you say about Democrats is they're lockstep for the most part. You know, they're one team. They give one front. And you look at the Republican Party, it's constant infighting, threatening each other. And they're so fragmented that it's really unfortunate, because at a time when I really feel we could use a change in leadership in this country, obviously it's not. We have a lot of issues that we've seen over the last 3 years, most specifically the border, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, our economy, inflation. And I think that they're their own worst enemy, the Republican Party, because there's an opportunity here. But I think if they showed some moderation and some compromise, you know, Speaker Johnson realized he has to compromise. You're not getting everything that you want. No one's signing off on that. And he's constantly getting attacked and resistance from within his own party. Very hard to lead from a position like that, Jack.
No question. All eyes on Mike Johnson right now. He's in a very important role here. To try and be the smoothing point as far as the two sides are concerned. And he's juggling a lot as well, The captain and the Global Threat Report, Global Threat Solutions for Peace of Mind in Uncertain Times. Go to the website. See what the company offers. So many services, ladies and gentlemen. GlobalThreatSolutions.com and a phone call at 646-946-6649. A late edition, always a great edition, though. is the captain, Ken Bombace. And let's not forget the captain's brief on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock as well, right here on LI News Radio. Cap, until next time, we appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, Jay. I look forward to it.